tell Brother Ron I appreciate him. I know everybody holds, just a special place in their heart for him and his family. And just appreciate the opportunity to be here tonight. And appreciate the church inviting me. Just ask that y'all would pray for me and just pray that God would get the glory out of this service.
Amen.
We would serve Him and that we would allow His Holy Spirit to lead us and guide us in this service. I appreciate everybody who's followed the Spirit. I felt the Spirit so far. And I'm thankful for that. I'm very thankful for that. And we serve an amazing God.
Amen.
You know, and He's worthy of our praise all the time. All the time. And, we're not perfect. We fall. But He's a perfect God. And He is always worthy of our praise. That's why Paul says there's nothing worthy in us of bragging on. There's nothing righteous within ourselves except Christ Jesus. Amen. It's only through the blood of Christ, through the Holy Spirit, that there's made anything good in us or even able to love or able to truly be selfless is through the Holy Spirit. So I'm just so thankful for that, because when I think about, I think about heaven, and I just think, I'm not ready to be there yet, My soul's ready, but I'm not ready to be there yet, We just got, God's got every one of us, our own journey laid out ahead of us, and there's so many opportunities for us to grow. And something that I have to give God praise on is, out of every bad situation that we find ourselves in, it seems that if we just seek God's will, or we just seek Him, that He'll give us an opportunity for something good to be made out of something bad.
Amen.
And it may not always be in the way that we think at the time, but then later on you can look back and say, man, God was really in that, or God got glory out of that. Amen? And that's what it's all about. So, if you want to turn with me in your Bibles, it's been, I'm not gonna lie to you, it's been a very exhausting but blessed week. And it's just been, I've just been on fire, y'all. Like, ever since the last couple of months, it's just been with so much change going on in our country and so much going on around the world. And it's just, I don't know if anybody else has felt it, but I have seen a revival in God's people. And I have seen God's people moving all over this country, all over the world, trying to come together and realizing how far our country has fallen, and realizing the evils that they've allowed to slither their way in there. And on both sides, and I'm not trying to preach politics, I'm just saying it's our responsibility as God's people to hold that stuff accountable. Because if we go back and look at the founding of our country, our forefathers, something I was never taught in public school, I got to share this with you. I was never taught this in public school, that our majority of our founding fathers were ordained ministers of Jesus Christ. And they preached the holy gospel in our state capitals, in our White House, in our buildings. You go up there now and talk about God, or you go in school and talk about God, and it's like the end of the world, But we've allowed that to happen, and the enemy is so deceiving that he's pulled a wool over our children's eyes. Myself included, I'm 25 years old, that we don't know what they're teaching our kids. We don't even realize that they don't ever teach them that they were ordained ministers of Christ. They don't bring God into it at all. All they tell them is that, the pilgrims came over on the Mayflower. Well, do you know that when the pilgrims came over on the Mayflower, the first thing they did was kneel down, and they gave honor and glory to God, and they asked God to bless the land that He had led them to?
Amen.
That's the first thing they did. And you know what He did? He provided for them.
Amen.
And He led them through some very hard times. Meaning that just because you're a Christian, our walk isn't easy, right? But He makes the way straight for us, right? We go up and down hills, up and down hills. But He always makes that path straight. And it's just amazing that when you can feel it. When you're in God's will, it seems that things fall into place. And then when you're out of God's will, it seems like you're just fighting the current. You're going against the stream, Because He's not the author of confusion. That's Satan. Amen. And that is who has deceived our children. That is who deceived our nation. That's who's deceived Eve and Adam all the way back to the beginning of time. And He's going to keep on doing it, And we just have to be vigilant. We have to pray for discernment over these things. We have to pray that the Holy Spirit would grow us and make us wiser all the time, because the world is constantly changing and progressing and getting so much more complicated. And there's something that is the most simple thing in the world, and that is the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Anybody can understand it. You can almost explain the gospel to somebody without even being able to speak the same language as them. You can show people pictures of the cross. It's one of the most recognized symbols around the world is the cross. And it's just amazing to me how confused we get out here that we just feel like we don't even know which way to go. And anytime you feel like that, just turn back to God.
Amen.
Just seek God. It says seek Him and wait on the Lord. We don't always get our answer immediately. That's something that I've been working on. Y'all pray I'll have patience because I want an answer and I want it now. I don't want to wait. I want it in my time, you know? And that's something that we have to be patient. We have to wait on the Lord. You know, the spirits of the fruit is long-suffering, okay? We're supposed to wait on the Lord when we're seeking Him, if He desires that of us. But the message that has just been on my heart so much, and I've been wrestling with it and back and forth, and it's just, you think it's going to go one way, but there's something that has just been killing me inside, is going around to churches and visiting churches, and people seeming so sad. People seeming so sad and just broken. And I think that it's just a symbolism of how we as a people have gotten away from God, the church included, and that we don't put Him in the center of our homes. We don't put Him in the center of everything that we do anymore, if we're just being honest, you know? And it's like, we realize it now, looking back, is, man, we see all these bad things happening, and, you know, we need to have God in the center of our home. But it's not just going to church on Sunday. It's not just going to church on Wednesday. But it's a daily walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a daily repentance. It's a daily, you know, prayer for growth, for guidance. And the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, you know, we say the power's in the cross. The power's in the cross because when He was crucified on the cross, He gave up His Holy Spirit. And He said, it's finished. And He left the Comforter, the Holy Spirit. The Bible calls it the Comforter. He left the Holy Spirit here for us to guide us. First, He came to this world in the form of a man, Jesus Christ, because He knew we had to see to believe. He wanted to walk amongst us. He wanted to share things with us. He wanted to work miracles amongst us. But then He wanted to give Himself as the ultimate sacrifice for us. Amen? A sinless, pure sacrifice. You know, in the Old Testament, they would pay and they would make sacrifices unto the Lord. You know, but Jesus is that sacrifice. He is that Lamb. He is that pure, spotless, blemishless Lamb of God that He provided and descended to put down on this wicked world, because He needed to spill His holy blood on this wicked world so that we could be redeemed. And then what's amazing is the Lord was just showing me. I was reading the scripture. I could just see Jesus on the cross, and I could just see Him just laying there and just stretched out on that cross and just bleeding after He's been beaten and lashed and just through things that we cannot even imagine.
Right.
No matter what we try to imagine it, we can't imagine. We cannot physically imagine. I mean, just think about the worst pain you've ever felt in your life. And women, I know you give birth, I can't compare with that. But I mean, I would imagine, you know, this man, he was beaten and broken to the most ruthless Roman soldiers. They beat him and lashed him, and they found joy and just, they had literally learned ways of tormenting the flesh. I mean, think about what we're talking about, the Romans. They conquered the world. You think they don't know how to cut up some flesh? They beat this man so senseless. They beat him so bad. They just beat him and beat him and beat him. I mean, you see that? Or He beat him so much, and He loves us all so much. He loves us. He bore all our burdens on that cross. And for everyone that had been and not yet come, He took them all, and He took it to that cross, and He sacrificed Himself. And when that blood fell, when that blood dropped on this wicked earth, it made it possible for us to commune with the Father, the Creator, through that sacrifice. Through that blood, through His benign, His Holy Spirit. His Holy Spirit, the most powerful thing that He left here for us, to guide us, to be our guider and our comforter. So many times we quench His Spirit. We quench the Spirit so much. We're scared to follow God's Holy Spirit. It is the most sweetest, blessed. There's not a wrong way when you go with the Spirit. There's no wrong in the Spirit. Amen. If it's giving honor and glory to God, then it is good. If it is giving honor and glory to God, it may be of the Spirit. You know, it says to try these things, to discern the spirits. There are spirits of evil, but we have God's Holy Spirit of Jesus Christ. You know, don't be fooled that out in the world there are evil spirits. A lot of times I don't hear spirits talking, you know, in church. Satan is there. Satan is a real thing. He has angels. He has followers. They have dominion in this world, in this realm. They deceive people. They draw people to lust. What does it say in James? That when we conceive lust, that lust brings forth sin, and sin brings forth death. It's talking about a spiritual death, that we die, a separation from God, backsliding, whatever you want to call it. We have a dissension when you're a saved person, and you get out in the world, and you get out in sin again, that you have to get a repentance and get back in a right relationship with Jesus. Just like a lost soul has to come to Jesus, and they're forgiven of everything that they had done before. But the Bible also teaches us that if we as saved Christians, if we sin deliberately, there will be a greater penalty to pay. There will be a judgment that we'll answer for when we stand in judgment before God. So, it's not a sin license. It doesn't give us permission to sin.
Right.
It's just, we know what it is. Like, when I sin, I know I'm sinning. I mean, I can be honest with you. When I do something wrong, I go, you know, I know that's wrong. And I know I'm going to have to answer for that, you know? And I try to get right with God as quickly as I can. Because there's not a worse feeling than being convicted by God Almighty. There's not a worse feeling than being lashed up and down by God Almighty. You know, but it's also the most blessed thing because you know you're His child.
Amen.
Amen. That's what it's all about, is being His child and just seeking His will for our lives. Because if we just seek His will for our lives, it is such a blessed road, and I feel like today these modern Christians that you see on TV, it's like they're talking about material wealth all the time. It's like all they're talking about is material wealth. Like Joel Osteen, God bless his soul. But it's like, you are going to be a good person. You just love yourself, and you, God, is going to give you all these things, and you're going to have that house, and you're going to have that car. Can I get an amen? Hallelujah. Glory to God. But I never hear nothing about hell. I never hear no condemnation. Now, don't take it the wrong way, brothers and sisters. It's not our place to judge, but it is our place to hold to the Word of God, the divine, holy Word of God that He put here for us. You don't take it in parts. It's not half-hearted. You either take it 100% cover to cover, or you don't take it at all. That's just all there is to it, okay? So we can't be, what does it say? When we're in, I think we've all been there, okay? No one's perfect. Just that's another thing we've got to get that good out of you, because there's no judgment in God's house. Look, He is the only one. But what amazing me is when we look at and we're thinking to ourselves, okay, we need to get going with this, and we need to get money, and we need to give to the church, and then we need to do these things, like works to get to heaven, or works to stay in God's good gracious. But that's not what grace is. Grace. Grace is a gift freely given to us. No one can earn it. That's why there's always this argument on whether you get to heaven by good works, or whether you get to heaven through repentance and faith, right? Or whether you get to heaven through baptism. But all these things are important. All of these things. We come to Jesus through repentance and faith. By faith, through grace, we are saved. Amen? By faith, through grace, we are saved. Amen? That's what He allows us. He allows us that faith to believe. And then by His grace, we are redeemed through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, through His giving Himself for us. But then after that, and this is where we're going to get into the Scripture. Go over to Acts chapter 9, verse 1. And we're talking about Saul here. And I love this man. I just absolutely love this man. I mean, he is just the epitome of a sinner. I mean, he is the epitome of a saved Christian, a born-again Christian. This man was a murderer. I mean, he apparently thought he was doing God's work, but he was going out and seeking people that were followers of Christ, that were just drunk in the spirit, that he thought that, you know, he needed to take them out. And so we're going to start in chapter 9. We're kind of jumping around a little bit. But in Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest. And he desired of him letters to Damascus to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, okay, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus. And suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecute thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. and it is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise, and go into that city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. And the men which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. And Saul arose from the earth, and when his eyes were opened, he saw nothing. But they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. And he was there 3 days without sight. Three. Take note of that. There's a lot of powerful numbers in the Bible. Three represents the Trinity. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Three. He was 3 days without sight, and neither did eat nor drink. And there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias. And he said, Behold, I am here, Lord. And the Lord said unto him, Arise, and go into the street which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he prayeth, and hath seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hands on him, that he might receive his sight. Then Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard by many of this man, how much evil he hath done to thy saints at Jerusalem, and here he hath authority from the chief priest to bind, to arrest all that call on thy name. But the Lord said unto him, Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me, to bear my name before the Gentiles, before the kings, and the children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. Amen. This man persecuted Christians. He was on his way to kill some more that were calling on Jesus' name. And Jesus appears in front of this man. He should be blinded because he sees God. God, it makes me think of the story of Moses when he comes up on the mountaintop and he wants to talk to God. And God passes him by and can't even look on him. And he comes down and his face is glowing. He has to wear a veil. They can't even look at Moses because his face is glowing in God's glory. God is so glorious, so we can't even conceive, we can't even imagine. And right here, it's the same kind of thing. It's just His glory is so, just so bright and so amazing. And, you know, He says, He takes this man, He sees Jesus, He's blinded for 3 days, He goes in, you know, and then He calls this man Ananias, and He tells him to go to Him and to pray over him, to be with him. And so he goes and said, Behold, I am here, Lord. Ananias is talking to the Lord. He said, I'm here, Lord. And the Lord said to Ananias, Arise and go into the street, which is called Straight. He's giving him directions. He's giving him orders. We are soldiers of Christ. That's what the message is here. Warriors. Warriors for the Lord. The Satanist enemy we are fighting, I saw their warriors, and they are hateful people. They are filled with hatred. They scream things that you can't even imagine. I promise you. I have never heard such awful things. And it's so sad because we have to realize it's not the person, right? He is their soul. And they are so confused and so lied to. And so most of them probably ain't even never been exposed to the gospel of Jesus Christ. And you talk to them and they're so confused and twisted. That's why the Bible says that it's the blind leading the blind. They have no ear to hear. They cannot understand without a preacher to preach the word. But we're all called to be witnesses to Christ Jesus through the salvation. It is up to all of us to plant the seed. God gives increase to plant the seed. Don't fear the one that destroys the body. Fear the one that destroys the body and the soul. Amen? And every time you think, man, I shouldn't say this. Man, I shouldn't do this. Just remember that. That scripture should give me so much strength. Why? Because there's power in the Word of God. Amen. Power in His living Word. Power in His living Holy Spirit. Power in this amazing living God we serve. I feel like the world thinks Satan's more real than God, Brother Ron. I mean, it's just unbelievable. You get out here and you see people and they can admit sin, they can admit wrong, they can admit drugs, they can admit porn, they can admit drugs, they can admit this, they can admit that, but they can't say God is real. Lord help us. They can't say that God is real. They can't say that, look at that beautiful sky. I know a God and the Creator created that. I know no man created that. A man can't even make a daggum tree. A man can't. I can't make that child. But I have a Father who can. Amen. He holds it all, brothers and sisters. It says that He created it all for His glory. All.
Amen.
I just see so much. I just see His glory in everything. But I remember a time when I didn't.
That's right.
I remember a time when I didn't see His glory in everything. And that's why it's our job. If you've been born again, and you know there's nothing more important than eternity. There's nothing more important. No money, no car, not hurting somebody's feelings, not stepping on somebody's toes, not losing a job. There is nothing. Because if it's of God, and He is getting glory, and He is leading us, that's what it's all about. That's what it's all about. And I believe it. I believe it. Because He tells us. He says, they will persecute you. They will. If you go out here and you preach the Word of God, you will be persecuted. People will hate you. People will despise you. Count it a great blessing. Thank the Lord Jesus Christ. It says that if they persecute me first, don't you know they'll persecute you for my name's sake? Amen? It is a great joy. It's a great blessing. That's why Paul says, count those trials as great joy. Great blessings, brothers and sisters, because they bring forth growth. They bring forth needed growth for us to become the warriors and the soldiers He wants us to be. The sword of the gospel. What does it say? The light exposes the dark. Men love the darkness. They cling to the darkness. But when we share the love of Jesus with them, it exposes all that. And it just shows them. And it's not you casting judgment. Because let's be clear, none of us have a right to cast judgment or condemnation on any other human being. In Matthew 5, right after the Lord's Prayer, what's it say? Here, let's flip to it real quick. It is Matthew chapter 5, verse 22. But I say unto you, that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council. But whosoever shall say, thou fool, shall be in danger of hell fire. Therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there remember that thy brother hath aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar, and go thy way. First be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift. Agree with thine adversary quickly while thou art in the way with him, lest at any time the adversary deliver thee to the judge, and the judge deliver thee to the officer, and thou be cast into prison. But the point is, agree with thine adversary. Amen, Brother Ron. Agree with thy adversary quickly while thou art in the way with him. You know, but it's like, and that wasn't even the scripture I was looking for, but that's obviously where God wanted me to go, because what I was thinking about, it was the same thing, just a different scripture. And that's the thing, He shows us the same messages over and over and over again, because we know Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, right? They're all different accounts of the gospel, different men that witnessed, different apostles that were with Him. And we just see it from different perspectives, you know, and that's important, because we need to look at things in different perspectives to get better understanding of it, right? And it allows us, you know. But I'm just so thankful that, you know, that's my message. I don't know where else to say. I'm just going to shut up. That was my message.
Right or wrong with you. When you got it, do it. When you don't, shut up. Sounds like other points. They're looking for Joseph to me. And so he challenged us all tonight. Well, I've been the happiest people in the world, right? He says, how can I be happy like Joseph? Well, Joseph, he says, you know, what about your 10 brothers and your mom and your daddy? Persecuted me. And he still hung in there. So that's the message I got tonight. But by the way, I'd like for us to come around and shake your hand, appreciation for it, and appreciation for him delivering the things that he wanted brought out tonight. And I was thinking, you know, you can probably think about the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 7. It says, judge not that thou be judged. So that might be a way to look at the Lord. But it's still the Sermon on the Mount. It's just the end of the service. But he did what the Lord wanted him to do. And we need to do what the Lord wants us to do. So as we come around, shake hands. We appreciate the message. And the message is fair. And just zeal for the Lord. I appreciate it so much. So let's preacher bid. You need to come pray right now, even sit tonight. If you got a problem with your leave it on the altar. And then go and reconcile with your brothers and your sisters. That's what Joseph did. But he's 40 bold. 40 bold.
Thank you.
tells everything.
Brother Ron, I'd like to tell us from the Wilson that I enjoyed this message. And makes me want to be better and try just a little harder. And just be willing to step out. I don't do that too well. See a lot of controversy from people. But I guess the truth of the matter is I don't get a lot of controversy from people because I don't step out a lot. I'm always afraid that I will. But no, we need to. We do. And I appreciate what you have to say. It's a beautiful picture to see a young man that's passionate about his Savior.
That's right.
And I want to be that passionate about the same Savior and be willing to stand out. Even when we step outside these walls, Jesus is safe in here, it's safe in here. But, it's really not even that difficult.
That's right.
It's really not. You just have to be willing. Amen. When it's on your heart and we have that moment where, I really should pray now. I should lead in prayer. We should pray for them. That's kind of happened to me a couple of times late, but I had this feeling like, we should have prayer, and I'll let it go. And it's wrong because I might offend somebody that's in the room. But my Lord is offended when I'm doing what I'm doing. So I need to be stronger. And I appreciate that this young man, 25, he said, and he's a 54-year-old son. But I love that. I love that the Lord uses his men to preach his word. It's been a blessing to be here tonight. And love your song. Wow, that was beautiful. Touched me right to the heart. It's been a good day today. I didn't do anything at home. I felt guilty. I'm like, man, I've been crazy all day. But you know what I did? I worshiped my Lord today. It's just been good. I appreciate that. I'm going to hold on to that. Take that and try to put on my heart for good. Be willing.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Appreciate these words. Someone else. Thank you. Anybody else? Thank you, Lisa. All hearts and minds at liberty. It's been good to be here. Amen. I could have said all these things beforehand, but I just felt like I needed to let Brother Wilson get up and preach. Last week, Luke and Christy, they were at my house, and this man, he's not only afraid to share his Lord in a church, he went to Washington, D.C. the day after the inauguration, was on the street, him and his wife, walking right in the middle of all this protest and all these people, telling them about, and I said, they're watching. I thought, my goodness. He's either real strong with the Lord or really not too bright. But I watched it for a good while, and I was encouraged. I really appreciate it. I can't compare to that, but I remember times in my life where I've gone out on the mission field, and one of the most frightening places to be is in Moscow, in the middle of the night, walking in the street and feeling demons all around me. I felt them. And you say, well, what in the world were you doing that? Because a man that was a Russian Orthodox priest wanted to hear my testimony. Back then, keep in mind, this is 1991. You know what a cell phone looked like back then? About this long, it had an antenna, and you don't have one in Moscow, Russia. If you wanted to call back home, I had to make one phone call back to Ron and talk for 10 minutes. It cost $350. Still remember that in 1991. For the next 11 days, she knew where I was. I didn't know where I was. Because I got on a plane called Aeroflot. You ever heard of that? It's like a 1950 bus a year. Rush airline. And flew 650 kilometers to Samara, Russia, to a place where I didn't even know where I was at, and my wife had no contact with her. I wrote her every day that she didn't even know where I was, and I didn't know where I was, but there was somebody with me that wasn't with everybody else.
Amen.
And I felt it. And I went, it prayed. And I knew he was right there with me. Oh, I was with 14 other guys, and when we went into Russian airspace, I'll tell you this, and then we'll close. But as we went into Russian airspace space on a Delta airline, there was two Black Hawk Russian airliners, fighter jets come right beside us. You can look out one window and the other, and they would let us know that they knew who we were and what we were there for. You ever had to give your passport to a hotel clerk, and they'll say, "I'll give it back to you when you leave"?
Oh, no.
That was a really scary feeling. I had no trouble doing it because I knew I was there for work. But when you're in their country, you abide by their rules.
Say that again, Brother Ron.
When you're in their country, you abide by their rules.
Amen.
Amen.
We all think about that here.
We do.
Anything else? But what I meant to get to is that I was just thankful. Thank you for making that statement. And if you get a chance to look at it, pull it up, and it's quite amazing. It's amazing what he preached about and all the evil that is in our country. Lord help us.
Yeah.
Lord help us. We need to hang on. We may feel like Joseph in the dungeon right now, but I'm going to tell you, we're going to come out. There's a message in the Song of Solomon that says, "Who is that coming out of the wilderness, leaning on her beloved?" It's coming, folks. Everybody's going to see.
That's right.
It's the bride of Christ. That's the whole message in itself. I don't want to preach about that. That's good. Anything else on anybody's heart before we leave?
I can say I enjoyed the message tonight, and Sister Rhonda didn't tell you that she's about to have surgery this week. So.
Shoulder. All right. We prayed for her. Shoulder surgery.
And I know that looks upon me as I struggle alone, and they say I have nothing.
Your love, Lord, and my prayer. say, you to be here, Ron. Better than the Super Bowl party.
Amen.
Be here now, Lord.
Amen. Amen. God bless you. Appreciate this. Amen. Anyone else?
There's a thing that Tommy kind of looked at Beth and, you know, think about her and the fact that, you know, her family was gone, but he gave her to us.
Amen.
After her earthly family was gone, he gave her to us. And we are so grateful for
her.
We love her so much.
Mm-hmm.
And we appreciate the love that has been shown here for her. There are people that, you know, don't look at her quite like the church here does.
Amen.
You know, that hurts. It hurts to see people that just
Amen.
Pass her by or just look at her strange or something like you know, she I don't know like why you brought her out into public. But you know, she is going to heaven one of these days.
Amen.
And I look forward to seeing her one of these days.
Amen.
In heaven where she can walk and talk.
That's right.
And, you know,
Amen.
I look forward to that.
That's right.
Y'all just remember it. Send prayer.
Amen. I think she's going to have one of you too. Amen. Like the song says, that's the blind man. He's all in all. Anybody else? Amen. Thank you for coming. It's been a sweet service. It's been a sweet day. I wish my wife was here. And I miss her. But it's good to be missed and to miss her. And she missed being here too. So you all pray. Pray for her that she was going to come back. She wanted every detail. I give her every detail. She said, okay, the sermon been uploaded yet. So I'm looking. It wasn't on my left. She probably heard it by now. The sermon, I appreciate that. Yeah. Thank you, Brother Terry. I appreciate that. All hearts and minds at liberty. Be careful out there. Pray for Sister Honor and her surgery. And pray that the Lord will give her speedy recovery. And that she won't have any pain through it all.
Thank you.
Having had both surgeries operated on, I mean that from the bottom of my
heart. You know it's fixing to be bad when people don't want to change the details.
Make sure you got your knees and shut up. That's required. I slept in one for 2 months.
Oh, good. Okay.
She's sick tonight, but I appreciate you asking. I'll let her know that you asked about her. So, okay?
Yeah.
All right. Stand together, we look to the Lord. Thank you again. Hope you'll come back. We're all in time. We appreciate it. Brother Quinn, would you be so kind to pray the benediction for us?
Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this Lord's day and the privilege to come back to thy house. We thank you for the message you heard this morning, Brother Ron. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for the message tonight. Pray, Heavenly Father, that you just bless this young preacher as he goes along his way. Lord, that he might give him a long life and he might be able to do great work, Heavenly Father. Thank you for the good message truth we heard tonight. We thank you for him, Heavenly Father. We pray, Lord, that you just bless him this man. Pray, Lord, that you bless the request we're made. Lord, that you might answer Lord, we don't know him, Father. In prayer, Heavenly Father, that requested for us, Heavenly Father, and the great Lord, that we use my heart and mind, Lord, and thy will be done. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for all your blessings, most of all, for salvation of our soul. Forgive us, Lord, our sins, there's a misplace, and bring us back next morning time. In Jesus' name I pray.
Amen. We got an email from Sister Sharp today. She wants to know how to get to write on the Bible trip. I'm hungry.